Good evening, folks. Welcome to another episode of Bards Rise. I continue to be Michael Deem, and I will be your host once again for the show. Before we start the show, once again, thank you, thank you, thank you to all the listeners, but especially my subscribers. I truly, truly appreciate it. It's humbling to know that people are actually paying money to listen to you or to support your voice. Never thought I'd be in this position, so it is humbling, and I truly appreciate it. Thank you. I'd like to start this show off with a couple clarifications or reminders, really. My first show, I explained to everybody that I'm no expert in anything, and I'm not sure I really want to be. Somebody taught me once that the definition of an expert is somebody who knows more and more about less and less until they know absolutely everything about nothing. So, nevertheless, I don't know. Well, I'm no expert, like I said before. I'm no expert. I have no title. I'm no king, no prince, nor do I care to be. If that's what you're looking for, you're not going to find it here. To quote Gaddafi, I just want to be your brother. That's all. So, kind of take what I'm saying with a grain of salt in that it's only coming from my perspective, on my experiences in life, on what I've been taught and what I've come to believe. So with that, I hope you will allow me to speak freely. And here I'm referring specifically to last week's show when I took the bold position of suggesting, if not stating, what men wanted in a relationship. Again, that's only coming from Mike Deem's perspective on his experiences. So if that doesn't resonate, that's fine. It doesn't have to. Just carry on with what does resonate for you. Also, last point on housekeeping, I found a meme, and it's on slide number 3. It says, and I thought it was just an absolute great follow-up to last week's show. And it says this: it's not your job to detox toxic people. It's your job to detox the part of you that is attracted to toxic people. And that's an ongoing mission, right? Ongoing job in this 3D world. But it's starting to get easier and easier. I was talking to somebody, not just, of course, what Q is always saying, how we're getting more powerful. And I truly believe that. I know that. But I was talking to somebody earlier today, and she said the energies were just tremendous today, and they have been for the last week or so. And she's not the only one who said that. So my shout out for this week goes to President Trump. I'm sure you heard, he came out, he said that the federal government is going to rebuild and open Alcatraz. And in that tweet, there's one line that I just absolutely loved, and I have to read it to you. And it says, "We will no longer be held hostage to criminals, thugs, and judges that are afraid to do their job." I will add in there that also refuse to do their job. I've been pretty clear in my past shows that there are several judges, dozens within New York State at both the state, local, and I'll throw in there federal level as well, that are outright criminals. I've submitted slides connecting the dots for you all. Hopefully you understood that. They need to go to jail. At the very least, they need to be thrown off the bench and disbarred. So today's subject, JFK was wrong. I think we all know that JFK had the spirit of Q in him. So again, this goes to what I said, the kind of like the disclaimer at the beginning of the show. This is coming from my perspective. Donald Trump, JFK, Q have never asked for my opinion in anything, nor do I get memos from them or the white hats on what's going on or why they do certain things. They have access to quantum computers. I do not. So I'm taking this from the little perspective of Mike Deem because I think it's an issue that we need to pay attention to. So JFK once gave a speech which is commonly referred to as the secret society speech. And I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but there are certain parts that I feel are important, and I will read them to you. So in that speech, he goes on to say, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Now, of course, he's referring to the government and how it conducts itself in that context, right? Especially with the last letter, or excuse me, the last sentence, but not so much that first sentence. So, skipping a few lines down to the next slide, six, he goes on to say, today, no war has been declared, and however fierce the struggle may be, it may never be declared in the traditional fashion. Our way of life is under attack. Those who make themselves our enemy are advancing around the globe. The survival of our friends is in danger, and yet no war has been declared. No borders have been crossed by marching troops. No missiles have been fired. If the press is awaiting a declaration of war, it imposes the self-discipline of combat conditions, then I can only say that no war ever posed a greater threat to our security. If you are awaiting a finding of, quote, clear and present danger, close quote, then I can only say that the danger has never been more clear and its presence has never been more imminent. Continuing to the next slide, it requires a change in outlook, a change in tactics, a change in missions by the government, by the people, by every businessman or labor leader, and by every newspaper. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. It conducts the Cold War, in short, with a wartime discipline no democracy would ever hope or wish to match. Now, I agree with everything that he said, and I know that it's still relevant to today to some extent. For those of us who are awake and aware, we know that there's been an underground war raging for the last few years now, and we are coming to the end of it, if not have come to the end of it, in the sense that actual military operations were engaged, and we are now in the process of reinstituting the rightful government. However, there is something in what his speech that he said that I believe was not necessarily 100% accurate down back then. Perhaps he was trying to soft shoe it and avoid creating a timeline. Perhaps he was trying to create a good timeline. I don't know. But my concern is that people will listen to that speech or read that speech. You can do both on the internet and feel or believe that that is still accurate today. And I submit to you, it's not. And the lines that I'm referring to are highlighted on slide 8. Let me just interject here for the new listeners. If you go to my show page on BBS, you'll find that there's a slide deck in PowerPoint, actually a PDF file, but it was developed and created in PowerPoint. You can open that up or download it, whatever you wish, and follow along as I speak to the slides. So on slide 8, it was the first slide that I started reading about the speech. And I highlighted the first two lines because that's really what I want to focus on for today. And it says, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Well, America has always believed itself to be a free and open society. However, secret societies and secrets are alive and well in this country on an organizational level throughout the country, throughout the history of this country. So I don't exactly agree with that, especially not today. And it goes on to say, we are as a people inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. Again, if you read those words in today's context, I submit you are dead wrong and you're heading, over the cliff. Secret societies are alive and well still today, even at the end of this major war that's been raging, because they haven't been outed on a public level yet. And that is the timeline that I hope to, if not create, at least expedite and speed up by this today's episode and this show as a whole. Because I believe firmly that unless and until that happens, we will always be fighting this battle. It will be going on. They will be allowed to limp along, survive to some extent, until all of us finally hit that major flip point and everybody goes to where they should be, where they belong, according to their vibrations. But right now, we're still all commingled and we need to identify this. We need to out these people and remove them from our lives, as I spoke to in that first slide. It's our job to remove the things that attract these people to us. And whether that means walking away, pushing them away, somehow just detaching from the matrix completely, going and establishing a homestead, you be the decision maker of your own life, your own timeline. But I submit to you, that's something that should and needs to happen. And I believe I'm not alone in that. I mean, if that's not the case, then why all this fuss? Why the big war? Why the focus on ascension? So, okay, why do I say that secret societies and secret proceedings, secret and oaths are alive and well in today's society? Well, starting with slide 9, you can do a quick Google search on secret societies and come up with dozens of hits. I just happened to pick the one that had the 25 examples of secret societies, starting with the Ancient Order of Hibernians, the National Grange, whatever that is, the Ancient Order of Druids, Forester Society, Knights of Pythias, Knights of Columbus. Thankfully, I'm no longer a member. The Illuminati, the Order of the Golden Dawn, the Ku Klux Klan, Knights of the Golden Eagle, and just goes on. Freemasons, the Ancient Order of the Mystic Shrine, or the Shriners, right? The Woodmen, Skull and Bones, Independent Order of Odd Fellows, and it goes on. Thule Society, there's several others. They're not necessarily a secret society, although that's how they're referred to. They're really just societies of secrets, right? Because we all know that they exist, but they have their secrets amongst themselves. What's other proof that these things have been around for a while? Well, on One King of the Street in Instagram, they quote, or they're interviewing this one speaker here, and he's talking about how the American eagle, actually goes back to the Roman Empire, And that gets into the secret societies, which goes back into the Greeks and all the way back to the Babylonians. Jordan Maxwell was very well read, and he's very outspoken about the secret societies, including the Masons and the Catholic Church, the Jesuits, especially within the church. Other examples that they are alive and well. J.R.R. Tolkien once wrote, "The main mark of modern government is that we do not know who governs de facto any more than de jure. We see the politician and not the backer, still less the backer of the backer, or what is most important of all, the banker of the backer." So, like Hugh says, if you know a name, you don't know the person in charge. You don't know the name. That's what he's getting at here. You may see the politician, but you don't know who backed him or the backer of the backer and who's financing the operation. As they say, follow the money. Kind of hard to do, and they make that difficult to do on purpose. Ayn Rand, in her book Atlas Shrugged, which was published in 1957, wrote, "When you see that in order to produce, you need to obtain permission from men who produce nothing. When you see that money is flowing to those who deal, not in goods, but in favors. When you see that men get richer by graft and by pull than by work, and your laws don't protect you against them, but protect them against you. When you see corruption being rewarded and honesty becoming a self-sacrifice, you may know that your society is doomed." She wrote this in 1957. It was obvious back then. And we've been on a downhill slide. Not at least since then, but clearly before then. When? How long? I don't know. Maybe the founding of the country. I'll tell you probably when. After the banks passed the Second Bank of the United States. Andrew Jackson fought that hard. And on his deathbed, they asked him what his greatest success was. And he said, "I beat the bank." Well, after his death, the bank won. They got a second charter, and we've been debt slaves ever since. Other examples of how secret societies are alive and well, not just in this country, but on slide 14, it shows child abuse by design. And it explains how family courts and the government are actually designed to abuse children, whether it's that's and primarily by separating them from their family, right? So they can be abused physically. They're also abused psychologically through that separation. And it shows who the gatekeepers are, the administrators, and who the different individuals are within that framework. It's a very well-written article. I just have one of the cover pages of that article on this slide. But if you're interested in this type of thing, I encourage you to go and read it. It was a great read. And from my experience in family and divorce courts and having practiced law in New York State, so I'm familiar with the government system, and having worked for the county and the government system, including in family court, I know that the system that's described in this document is exactly the type of system that they have here, that we have here as New Yorkers, as Americans. Some of the individuals that are in this is entitled the Illuminati. They're specifically listed here, as well as the different Masons in different levels. You have the gatekeepers, the low-level Masons, and the higher-level Masons, 4 to 33rd degree. Very well-written article. More proof that secret societies are alive and well in this country. Well, if you were to go and, well, if you listen to Jesse Zoboter, and I'll speak to her a little bit later, a little more in depth. She describes how there's five different branches of what she calls the system, right? The New World Order. How that's going to be brought about is through the system. And the system consists of five branches. One of them is Freemasonry. And she was very well versed on this. She was raised in a high level family. In fact, she was supposed to be the one that brought in Satan to take over the world. And she describes how Frank Lloyd Wright is one of three famous architects and are very popular with the Freemasons. And they, in the architecture of their buildings, certain features on the buildings and the houses depicted or denoted that you could obtain certain things within that building, within that structure. So maybe it's child sex. Another one might be child sacrifice. Another one might be drugs. And say, well, how does that apply to national level? Well, if you go to Google Maps, and you type in Frank Lloyd Wright House, it'll show you almost every, well, certainly a large number of houses or buildings that were designed and built by Frank Lloyd Wright. And most of them, if not all, are considered historical sites, national monuments, created for and by Freemasons in order to guide each other toward absolutely abominable acts being conducted with children. It's out there. So you can't say that, we're not for it. I mean, it's common knowledge. It's in our face. Also, Manly P. Hall was a well-known occultist. And as we know, Freemasons are ultimately occultists. They follow the Luciferian doctrine, not necessarily Satanists, although it all merges at the top. They're into some really bad shit. There's an actual philosophical research society devoted, created by, and devoted to Manly P. Hall. And they're all about occult teachings, dark stuff. I happened to take a gander because I like to research even the enemy. I went to their website and they have a lot of disgusting videos that I didn't even bother looking at. However, there was one video that I couldn't help myself but look at it. And that is depicted on slide 17. That video is called QAnon, Philosophy Without Borders with Eric Davis. Well, even from going back to, my junior high school days of playing football, you always want to see how the other team plays their game. And you do that by watching their games, watching film. So here I go watching their videos. And in it, they had two hosts, which are underneath the video, the young kid to the left in the corner and the gentleman with the dark rimmed glasses. And their main speaker was this guy with the gray beard and glasses next to the video. Don't remember his name. It's not important. But he went in there. Of course, he was knocking QAnon and that whole movement. And one of the themes in what he was saying was, look, don't throw in the towel yet, right? Because the war was raging. He says, as long as people don't find out that there's evil with a capital E, he was kind of like smoothing it over, like we might be able to squeeze through this, right? And make it to the other side. Well, as soon as I heard that, what do you think I'm doing? I'm shouting evil with a capital E. And I'm outing these people. The other people, the couple down at the bottom, the woman in the bottom corner, and the guy with the thongs, and the guy with the head wrap in the other corner, they were all guests on the show. They were all asking questions. And it was funny, the one with the who's doing the barbecue, the guest speaker says, "Oh, what are you cooking there?" And he kind of like beat around the bush. He was like, "Oh, it's chicken. It's chicken." And we all know what the reference was, right? It's not chicken. It's babies. Maybe he doesn't actually have them on there, but they all know about that stuff and what goes on. And I wouldn't be surprised if they participate in it as well. I can't say that they do, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did. The couple on the bottom, there's the guy with the beard flashing his ring. He kept his hand to his face for an unusual amount of time, considering he was supposed to just be scratching his face. He's flashing what he belongs to, right? I'm sure that ring represents some specific sect or, of a cultist or black witch or whatever, and that's who they were. The guy on the top right, he was really evil. I mean, the microphone wasn't working with him. The energy, his energy was just throwing it off. So, I don't recommend staring at their eyes all that long. Who knows what they have in them, even through pictures. However, if you want to listen to the other side and what they're afraid of, I suggest listening to that video. Listen to it, don't watch the video necessarily. Okay, other proof that there is evil with the capital E. Secret societies are alive and well. Slide 18, The New World Order, written by A. Ralph Epperson. He put in 27 years of research to write this book. It was published in 1990. It is very, very thorough. And in it, he specifically calls out the Freemasons and their involvement in the New World Order. A lot of people are pointing to the Freemasons. You can't tell me that they're all legitimate, right? They're evil. But yet, they're still alive and well. Then we have Jesse Zabota. As I stated earlier, she was in the system and she held a position. And this I can verify personally. She held a position, well, the gravamen and the authenticity of her statements. So she claimed that she was an Illuminati family and she was raised to be, quote, the Queen Mother of Darkness. And she ruled over the four mothers of darkness. One of those had flipped and got out of the system and wrote a book. I can't remember her name offhand, something about a pale horse. If you look at it, there's two or three books with that term in the title, but she's an older woman. Perhaps you can find a picture of her. But yeah, so Jesse Zabota is interviewed several times on Aquarius Rising by this woman, Chantel. She's from Namibia, I believe, over in southern Africa. And she brought forward a lot of information. I watched all of her videos at the time. This was as of 2 or 3 years ago. She has since left the system. She is now a pastor. She's a complete believer in Christ. And she does a lot of healings. And she actually helps to fight against the system now and trying to pull people out of the system. So for that, I commend her. She was born into it, but she walked away. She goes on to explain that there are five branches of the system that's going to bring in the New World Order. And they're listed here on this slide. Freemasons. And when she says Freemasons, she's including all secret societies under that title because all of them roll up under the Freemasons. And there is one head person who's in charge of all Freemasons and all secret societies. And I believe she said that was Prince William. Don't quote me on that, but I would put money on it. Another branch are Satanists, hardcore. Michael Aquino would be one example. Jesuits from the Catholic Church, the Mormon Church. And oh, by the way, I recently went and saw a picture of their founder. I think his name was John Smith. Don't quote me on that, please. And I won't put money on that one. But look at his eyes. His eyes are pure evil. The negative energy coming out of his eyes was astounding, even through a picture. And then finally, the Illuminati, right? The bloodlines. We've all heard about those by now. So those are the five branches, and they divide the world up into four quadrants. And there is one queen mother to rule over each of those quadrants, and they all report to her, including Prince William. She was the top of the heap. And she walked away. And she goes on to explain some really, really bad stuff, like thousands of people, children, lost their lives because she refused to take her position in the system. I mean, she refused to do that because she knew if she did, millions, tens, hundreds of millions would lose their lives. So kudos on her. When I was in jail, wrongfully, I was having a conversation with, I don't know, six, seven, eight of the people that were in my bay, my housing area. And we were going on talking about, this was during COVID, going on about The Trump, the underground wars, and this jab, the COVID, and all that stuff. And then we started getting into the secret societies, and I brought Jesse Zoboter up. And I started talking. And during this conversation, right, I could tell that there was this one guy who's two beds down from me, and another guy who was across the aisle and one bed down from me. They kept looking at each other. And I figured out these two are the leaders of the group. And they didn't like some of the things that I was saying. But when I started mentioning and talking about the Queen Mother of Darkness and the other mothers of darkness and how Satan is supposed to, come and all this, there was fire in their eyes. They couldn't get over it. And they were like, yeah, they nodded to each other like, that's it. They went on to devise this one scheme where I had to, me and others, but of course it was just an excuse to focus on me, to help clean up the squad bay, our housing area. And they thought, well, this one guy, Geo, right, pudgy black guy that was across the aisle from me and with dreadlocks, he was the heavy. So he was trying to either get me in a corner to where he could try and lump me up or lump himself up and claim that I did it. So then I catch a rap for hitting him, right? I saw that a mile away and I avoided that. But the other guy who was two beds down from me, Chris, white guy, thin, had Chris tattooed on his back, right? His tramp stamp as a guy, and an M16 pointing down on his left side. Undercover cops, if I ever saw them. No doubt I would put money on it, if not confidential informants. But they were in the system. Chris, definitely undercover cop. He wanted to be left out of it. And I figured out why. Because 2 days later, after they tried to pull this bullshit on me, he was walking around for the first time with his shirt off, and he had about an 8-inch Satan tattoo on his left shoulder. So he was definitely in the system, and he knew what I was saying was correct. And I take the time to explain all this to say it's out there, folks. It's alive and well. And just because it's not on the evening news doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It's one of those secret societies that we need to be aware of, and we need to speak truth about it. And if you're involved, I encourage you to just walk away. That's the best thing you can do. And the next best thing would do is walk away and tell somebody about it. Okay? So, next slide. As I said, it's in our face, it's in everyday lives. On slide 20, I have a picture of the Holocaust Garden of Remembrance here in Westchester County. It's in the city of White Plains. You can find this on the internet. There's a plaque there that describes, next to this picture, that describes the monument in to some degree. And it specifically says that there are five objects, on the bars, of this monument, right? That specific number five, that's going to come in, that's going to be important in a little bit. So if we go to the next slide, here's another picture. And this is really what this monument is all about. This isn't a solemn remembrance of, oh my goodness, look what they did to all these poor people. No. This is a woohoo, look what we did. Stick it up your rear end. The two large figures on either side of this gate are the Jewish number six. Okay? And using numerology, there's the gate itself, right? The two gates, which is one, plus those five different objects that are on the bars of the gate. So that's six objects. So what you're looking at here is 666. The number of the beast is actually 18, but they get there with 666. This is in your face. That's one way of looking at it. But if you go on to the next slide, 22, you'll see that we have those five original objects. But then if you look at each of the individual gates, there are five bars on each of the gates. So you have three sets of five. In numerology, five times three, 5 equals death to enemies in defense. Multiplier of 3 of that number to get the max power out of that number. They're wishing all of us death to the maximum degree possible. And look at what's behind this monument, a Masonic architecture government building. It's in our faces every day, and we don't even realize it. At least most of us do. Don't. Those who are awake and aware are fortunate. On slide 23, we have Joe Rogan interviewing somebody. He says, evil is real. Mel Gibson has talked about it, on how the movie studios are bought and paid for. And then recently, we have the Salvadoran president who came to visit President Trump. He was interviewed, and he went on to talk about how MS-13 gang members engage in satanic ritual sacrifice. And he went on to explain how there was one individual, a gang member, that left the gang. And they asked him, well, why did you leave? He says, because I used to kill for drugs, for territory, for power, right? For money. And he goes, but I walked into a house one time and there were a bunch of guys getting ready to sacrifice this baby. And I said, why are you killing the baby? And they said, the beast wanted a baby. And he said, I couldn't go against them, so he just left the gang. And I encourage everybody, if you're involved in one of these secret societies, to include Freemasonry or whatever it is, walk away. Knights of Pythias, that was referenced in one of the group of 25. The Knights of Pythias was the first fraternal organization to receive a charter under an act of the United States Congress. It's an officially recognized organization, a secret society. I find it hard to reconcile a statement that, well, first let's back up. Our elected officials are supposed to represent us, right? We pick the individual that we want to represent us, and then what they do and the legislation they pass is supposed to be a representation of us, right? It kind of like works its way down. So whatever legislation or charter that they issue can be conceived, at least in our system of government, as coming from the people. It's a majority rule. The majority of the people, voted for this in one way or another. Well, here there's an official, charter for this secret society. So I find it hard to square a statement that secret societies are against our open society when they have a charter from the open society to exist. And it's not like it goes to low-level people. Here you have then supervising judge of the Westchester County matrimonial part for Louis LaBelle, Louis J. LaBelle. In his bio, when he was running for re-election, he specifically brags about being a member of the Knights of Pythias. Why is that an issue? We're going to get into it in a little bit. Knights of Pythias have an oath. Part of that oath states, I declare upon honor that I do not seek by force or violence to deny to other persons their rights under the laws of such country. Well, there's a term in Latin that's used in the law frequently, expressio unius est exclusio alterius, which means that when one or more things of a class are expressly mentioned, others of that same class are excluded. So, in other words, by saying, I do not seek by force or violence to deny to other persons their rights, it's okay to deny them their rights as long as you don't do it by force or violence. So, a judge who's supposed to be neutral, that isn't neutral, that's perfectly acceptable to them. As well as with other secret societies and their oaths that they take to each other and the organization, instead of living by the oath that they each and every one of them took to the U.S. Constitution to be fair and neutral, to render judgments and decisions without fear or favor. The favor part is the problem. So now going down to slide 27, also chartered by Congress, is the Independent Order of Odd Fellows in 1860. They even have, next slide, a specific cemetery devoted to them, all secret societies. They were in there, the Odd Fellows, the Rebeccas, the Masons. It's ridiculous. You can't say that we're opposed to it with all this stuff that's out there. Also, here, the Masons, it was originally organized under a different name, having requested and received their charter right June 27th, 1847. And since then, it was reorganized three additional times, all approved by Congress. Our representatives, which is basically us, we as a nation, gave them charters saying they're official, they're respectable. And I can't tell you how many times people have thrown this in my face in trying to recruit me to Freemasonry or some other secret society. We were chartered by Congress. Of course we're legitimate. You know, we do good work. Yeah. I don't need open to the uneducated, uninformed. And then I have the three different oaths that Masons take, at least at the first three levels. That's all I could find. You have the apprentice oath. Then you have the fellow craft oath, which is the second degree. And then you have finally the Master Mason oath. And I'll just read some of it briefly. I blank, you know, state your name of my own free will and accord in the presence of Almighty God. And when they say that, they're referring to Lucifer slash Satan. And this worshipful lodge do hereby and hereon most solemnly and sincerely promise and swear that I will always hail, ever conceal, and never reveal any of the secrets, arts, parts, point, or points of the Master Mason's degree to any person or persons, whomever, except that, by strict trial, due examination, or lawful information, I shall have found him or them as lawfully entitled to the same as I am myself. In other words, if you subpoena this guy and get him on the stand, if he doesn't think you're entitled to it, especially if it's in a public forum, he's going to lie to you. He's not going to tell you what the truth is. And I've had that happen to me several times in court. It goes on to say, I will ever maintain and support the Constitution, laws, and edicts of the Grand Lodge, not the U.S. Constitution, under which the same shall be holden. Well, that is in direct conflict with their oaths to the U.S. Constitution. You can't reconcile the two. Somebody needs to do that, especially if you're a judge. And I'll get into why. I will acknowledge and obey all due signs and summonses sent to me from a Master Mason's lodge or given me by a brother of that degree if within the length of my cable toe. In other words, if it's possible for me to do. I will obey. In other words, they're a puppet. Somebody else tells them to do something, they're going to do it. Even if they're sitting on a bench somewhere acting as a, or pretending to be, a neutral judge. So much for justice. So much for the Constitution. And I will always aid and assist all poor, distressed, worthy Masons, their widows and orphans, knowing them to be such, as far as their necessities may require. So in other words, if they really need to win this case, then they need to help them out, right? I will keep a worthy brother Master Mason's secrets inviolable when communicated to and received by me as such. Murder and treason excepted. So in other words, it doesn't matter if they were a witness to a crime. They find out that that guy they're supposed to be testifying to or against is a Mason, you're never going to get the truth for them, right? So again, so much for a free and open society, so much for the Constitution, so much for your oath. It just goes downhill. And a real concern with this is, oh, I'm sorry, let me just go back. The kicker is, I will not give the hands. Forgive me, folks. It's been a while since I reviewed this slide. I'm going to just go on to slide 35. In it, on slide 35, you'll see different merchandise that you can go and find and buy on the internet for Freemasons and members of the Eastern Star, right? So we have the, to my limited knowledge of Freemasonry, I don't profess to be an expert, but you have the Scottish Rite, right? They're the hardcore original Masons. Then they broke off and only whites were allowed for a long time. And then instead of allowing blacks into their little secret organization, they decided to create a separate lodge just for minorities. Although there is some intermingling between the two now, but that's called the Prince Edward, I believe, Masonic Lodge. So that's for the minorities. And then the women had to get their own, and that's known as the Order of the Eastern Star, an upside down pentagram. And if you look at what this says, it says, I have my brother's back, but I am my sister's keeper. Another one. I am my sister's keeper, but my brother's got my back. Some call them a cult, others call them a secret society, but I call them family. Family. Okay. So set up this scenario. You have the judge, at least Judge LaBelle, who I pointed to earlier, is a member of the secret society. I'm sure that they refer to each other as brothers as well, right? It's supposed to be a fraternal organization. In the law, you're not supposed to be involved in a case. And every court, at least in the US, has some type of rule to this, to consanguinity. In New York, you can't be related to somebody in the case, if you're a judge, if they're within the six degree of consanguinity. Well, what does that mean? Well, on slide 36, I show you a chart which is published by the New York State government of relationships and consanguinity. You'll notice that siblings, right? Brothers and sisters are the first degree. When has anybody ever heard of a judge claiming to be excluded because of consanguinity? And that's not just by blood, but it's also by affinity. So, perfect example is these fraternal and other organizations where somebody is closer to you, the judge, than your own family members. You can't sit on that case. But yet, in 20 years, I have never, ever heard of someone trying to exclude either somebody from the jury or another lawyer or a judge based on this relationship. Except for one reported case, it came out of the US Virgin Islands, and the judge actually agreed because the lawyer was trying to exclude people from the jury pool that were Freemasons, because I guess the other person was also a Freemason. The only case I've ever heard. Never has it been cited since then. That's a real issue, because if you have basically the judge, a brother or sister of your opponent, that's a problem. And then you say, well, the answer to that is get your own Freemason, a higher Freemason as your lawyer. Well, no, because we have a constitution. He's supposed to be neutral and fair. Why am I going to go back to, the rules of England and who's related to the king? Now this, the top Mason, secret society guy, as I said, is royalty, Prince William. Why am I going to go back to that system? We threw off that yoke hundreds of years ago. Why am I going to put it back on? No, never. Next slide, 37. Here we have, different members of the government. We have Stalin, the chief judge of the First Court of Appeals, the former chief judge of New York State, the Queen. Oh, look, Mayor Michael Bloomberg, with his Masonic foot signs and Masonic hand signs, the former Westchester County District Attorney, Mimi Rocha, who resigned her position after less than 3 years on the job because she was such a criminal, right? She was one of the people that was protecting Epstein. And look, there are cartoons in the papers that make fun of this. It's so obvious. It's so notorious, right? They actually make cartoons about it because everybody knows it goes on. Next slide. Look, it's in the papers, right? And it's not always good. In the middle, we have Faith Hill and her husband, I think it's Tim McGraw, with Masonic hand signs, right? Out in public. And then top right, there's the Order of the Eastern Star taking a nice little picture with the mayor, right? Inside their Masonic hall within City Hall, right? It's a Masonic temple, Masonic hall, Yonkers City Hall. Notice the hall is in both because they're both Masonic buildings, structures. That's what goes on there at night. And they have the security to make sure only the people that are allowed to see what goes on in there are actually there. At the bottom, look, there's a sword arch by high-ranking Masons with a little black kid, African American or West Indian, I don't know, so I'll use the term black, with a veil over his face. Do you think this is healthy for this young man to have a veil, a wedding veil over his head? It's disgusting. It is absolutely disgusting and degrading. And I don't care if you think I'm being judgmental. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm just calling out the truth. This is unnatural. This is wrong. This needs to stop. And it can't stop unless people realize that secret societies are alive and well, or at least have been. And again, in my view, unless and until we have an open discussion, outing them, throwing them under the bus, calling them out for all the evil they have supported, at least at the higher levels, okay, the true evil, and at the very least, revoking their charters, saying that you're not allowed to exist anymore. Why is the federal government behind them, supporting them? They use that as a recruiting tool, I know for a fact, because they tried to use it with me. But thankfully, say what you want about the Catholic Church, and I'm going to get into this next week. I did my research and I found that several posts published different types of authoritative documents condemning Freemasonry. So I said, say what you will about the Catholic Church, but if they're against the Freemasonry, well, maybe there's something to be said for that, right? So I didn't join. And then I started doing some more research. And if I, just some regular guy with a laptop, can find all this information and more on the internet or through, published books out on open source, through open source methods, then so can the low-level individuals within these secret societies, clubs, or cabals. Okay? And then we get into conspiracy theory. The left hand doesn't have to know what the right hand is doing as long as the object, you share the same purpose and object. And where that lands, I don't know, but I sure wouldn't want to be in that organization when the hammer finally drops. So again, I encourage everybody to either know about this, talk about this openly, speak the truth, out them, and if you're in it, walk away, just like that MS-13 member did. If he had the intestinal fortitude to do it, so can you. If Jesse Sobota, the Queen Mother in Darkness, the number one person who was actually married to Satan and used to have intercourse with him, sexual relations with him, if she could do it, so can you. So thank you all for listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Next week, I'll get into some more examples of what you can do to get away from the system. Thank you for listening. Have a great week, folks. BBS, thank you for all your support. Please take it away, Thomas.
Whoa!